to the Asterix Art Podcast.
Hi.
I'm Ethan. That's Kirja.
Yeah.
I'm super duper excited. Can you tell?
What for?
We're back.
All right.
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
It's been about 10 months, give or take.
Yeah.
But I know every other time we've taken a long break, we say we're going to get back into it, but this time we're definitely going to get back into it. Back on a regular sketch.
A reg sketch.
Yeah, the old reggy sketchy. And we're coming back with a good one. Thankfully, we didn't stop before the movies got real bad, because then it would have been real hard to start back up again. But what we're doing this time is talking about Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
So we're gonna walk through it like we normally would, kind of take you on a journey as we rediscover the majesty. Magic. I meant to say magic. The magic of Toy Story universe. So you ready?
I think I'm ready. I'm a little sad.
You're sad because the movie makes you sad, or because of external issues?
It's the movie.
Okay, good.
I legit cried during this movie.
I held back tears, but if I was a weaker man like you, I would definitely would have cried.
I was alone, so it kind of made it a little easier.
I watched it alone. My wife doesn't watch cartoons with me.
It's an animation. Computer animation, it's not a cartoon.
Computer animation, excuse me. I mean, she was in the other room, so I guess it would look real weird if I came back into the room with my eyes all dripping.
Well, it's gross the way you depicted that, but that's cool.
Is that not how you talk about crying, your eyes dripping?
My eyes dripping. I'm leaking.
Leaking, bro. Call the amber lamps.
The amber lamps.
I literally was thinking about that video yesterday after not thinking about it for probably about a year.
Really?
It's wild how that happens.
It's wild how the video has affected our lives in such a good way.
And you know what else has affected our lives in a good way? Toy Story. So
the first one, at least.
Yeah, that's true. The first one. First one, and maybe this one. Well, we'll get through as we go along what we like, what we didn't like, and kind of do an overall, overarching like or dislike about this entry into the universe.
Yeah.
Let's knock out some of the boring stuff here and give you the deets about who made the movie. We had the usual names, John Lasseter, Andrew Stanton.
Love him.
And great guys. Lee Unkrich. Yeah, I know that guy.
All those.
But I guess what was interesting is this was the solo debut of Lee Unkrich as the director.
Yeah.
And, you knew that? You looked at the Wikipedia? Man.
Well, also the credits.
Oh, yeah, I didn't read the credits.
I was surprised John Lasseter gave it up, I guess. I mean, I'm sure he was involved the entire time, but, good for him.
I mean, yeah, good for old Lee. he co-directed Toy Story 2, Monsters, Inc., and Finding Nemo. But, I mean, all the guys were involved. We had a screenplay by Michael Arndt. Man, I'm bad with last names today. And I don't know if you recognize that name, but he also wrote Little Miss Sunshine and worked on Force Awakens.
I didn't know that.
Which is a surprise to me. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
It shows.
And then, of course, a lot of Toy Story 3 influence on Star Wars Force Awakens. And then, what was that?
Oh, well, I was gonna. I'm assuming we're going to talk about the lovely cast they had. Very happy with
the... I was just going to.
The additions I really enjoyed, specifically Kristen Schaal, which I was very happy about because I love her.
Yeah. Yeah, so you had the usual people you know, Tim Allen, Tom Hanks, the goodies. But then, yeah, in this entry, you've got Ned Beatty playing Lotso, the villain. Mm-hmm. Michael Keaton, which was my... I really loved his addition here as Ken, the Ken doll.
Yep.
And then, yeah, Kristen Schaal was what do you call it? Triceratops. And then, a little bit part.
Jeff Garland I really liked too. I don't think they gave him enough to do, but maybe the next movie.
Yeah, for half the movie, I could have sworn that was Seth Rogen. I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe I'm insane, but maybe they have similar voices. I thought they did.
I guess they're both kind of raspy.
Yeah, kind of raspy, round
voices. Large Jewish men.
Yeah, you think they all sound alike.
Yeah, I didn't say that, but...
You've said that on several occasions.
That all large Jewish men sound alike?
Yeah, probably not far off.
And then... So Timothy Dalton in a very strange Shakespeare-esque part.
Yeah, he was the porcupine. That was, I recognized the voice, and I was like, "Who the heck is that?" And it's Timothy Dalton.
It's your very own worst James Bond.
Hey, I mean, you're right, but hey.
Actually, to be fair, I haven't seen any of his movies. That's just the popular opinion, I suppose. But
oh, really?
I'm currently on Roger Moore. I'm working through the James Bonds.
Oh, there you go. Are you James Bonding with that other podcast?
I am James Bonding. They had to stop because there are no more James Bonds.
Oh, wow. They caught up.
Yeah.
I hope to get to that day sometime.
We'll get there. And then, Pixar movies. They'll do, what they did with, like Spectre, where they, waited until it came out, and then they did one, and then just gonna wait till they keep coming out. Actually, we saw Spectre together.
What'd you say? Yeah, we did see Spectre together.
Yeah, it's a good time.
And I thought about it because I was recently in Mexico City.
Yeah, did you see any? Was it Dia de los Muertos?
It wasn't.
Oh,
unfortunately. But I went to the big square, but it was under construction, so I was like, "What the fuck?"
Probably because. That guy blew up so much of it.
Yeah, I made that joke.
That was probably fun for all the Mexicans.
Didn't they crash a helicopter into it or something?
No, he flies the helicopter super close to all the people in the square, and they blow it up because he has a briefcase bomb or something dumb.
Oh yeah, they blow up that building.
Yeah, and then he pretends to bang that lady, but actually jumps out the window.
Great one-er shot, though. Am I right?
That was the best part of the movie, I'm pretty sure.
It honestly was. The first 5 minutes.
Well, that,
all downhill from there.
And then Christoph Waltz is... What's his face? Blowhard.
The baddie. Blowhard. Yeah,
Blumfeld. Blumfeld, that's his name.
That's Blowhard. The name.
I got it there.
You got it. Yeah, we're at Toy Story 3, which is...
Oh, yeah.
The 11th entry. So, with the recent release of Cars 3, they're at 18. So, we're on the final stretch here.
Yeah. But now there's going to be...
See the light.
Cars 3 is coming out, and then Toy Story 4, and then The Incredibles again, and then probably some more. And then that...
Yeah, this...
That cool...
This time next year.
The Coco yeah. One. Yeah. Which actually looks really good, speaking of Dia de los Muertos. I can't say that phrase very well.
Yeah, just say it really quickly like you did, then no one will understand.
Yeah.
Dia de Muertos. Dia de Muertos.
It means days of the... I'm not sure. skeleton candy.
Yeah. Days of the face paint.
This movie came out in 2010, which was... coincided with it was a year before we graduated, and then, or you didn't never graduated, and then
hey, I graduated,
and then my little brother's graduating high school, and so this was very emotional for reasons we'll explain later for my mother, who I saw it with.
Aww. Wait, you graduated 2010?
No, 2011, but it was like, it was the summer, so it was like going into senior year for my little brother, so my mom was like about to be Andy's mom.
Oh, true. So yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
I wonder, did the timing didn't add up, right? Because Andy's 17 in this movie. And it's 15 years after the first Toy Story, but he definitely wasn't 2 years old in the first Toy Story.
No.
So, dang, that would have been cool if they had lined that up properly.
Yeah.
I think the...
What?
Well, yeah, we can get into it later, but I think the movie was in production for a long time, so maybe it was supposed to line up.
Well.
Yeah, so 2010...
2010. Sorry. I got sidetracked real quick.
No problem.
I was thinking about people getting older and leaving, and then I was thinking about the cast and how. Jim Varney died before this movie, and then
yeah,
Don Rickles just recently died. Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. Rest in power.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim Varney died in 2000. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I feel like it was fairly recent.
I mean, I don't know. It's a bummer.
It is a bummer. And they got Blake Clark to fill in for Jim Varney. Did you notice the difference? I didn't really notice the difference.
I didn't. That's why I was like, in my mind, I know Jim Varney's dead, but I was like, I wonder if he was dead before this movie. And then I looked it up. I'm like, yeah, he was mega dead. Before this movie came out, like
mega dead,
super dead, like not even like, yeah, we got like a couple recordings off of him. No. Like this is like before they even thought this movie was gonna happen.
Oh yeah, fully rotted.
Okay, well, you know.
He died shortly after Toy Story 2.
That's so.
They probably didn't even by the time he whatever. Rest in power, Jim Varney and Don Rickles.
It might be James Varney, probably, right?
James? Well, I don't think it's Jim.
Well, Jim, but, I mean, short for James. Jimmy Varney. J-Mo. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Jim is short for James. We can confirm that.
Confirm.
But I'm pretty sure the man went by Jim Varney.
I think. It's up for debate.
Maybe not in proper settings.
Mr. Varney.
Yeah, Mr. Varney to me.
All right.
Real quick, this movie made a friggin' $1 billion. Want to get that out.
Which is dope.
That's pretty dope. Good for them. I mean, it was perfectly timed. Like I said, 15 years after the first one, that's kind of, isn't that in like the sweet spot of nostalgia? Didn't they say like 20 years is kind of like prime time nostalgia? Especially for like a movie... for kids, and then by the time Toy Story 3 came out, we were adults in college, so we had money to spend on movies.
It's like the what they did with Finding Dory, I think. Like it was... not for us in particular, but like a little bit younger than us. I've been talking to some kids.
Oh, wow.
Some kids. They're like teenagers.
What are you talking to kids for?
Like 17, 18. But it was like Toy Story for us, so they grew up watching that, and then this came out, and now they're like adults, and they're like, well, we got to see it, even though it's a kid's movie, because we grew up watching the original one. That sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel. Like we've said a bunch of times, I haven't really seen many movies, Pixar movies, after Toy Story 3, but I'll definitely see Toy Story 4, just because I gotta.
They can make Toy Story,
really
like,
excited about it.
80, I feel like we'd still go see it.
Yeah, they've got me hooked on that one. I mean, if they made a Bug's Life sequel, I'd definitely see that, too.
I'd see it with you, maybe.
Just for this podcast, and that's it.
All
right, speaking of this podcast, we got to get on it.
Yeah. Only if Julia Louis-Dreyfus reprises her role.
Ooh, she's too big for it now.
Yeah, she's a Veep.
she was president briefly.
Selena, right? Yeah.
They could definitely get Dave Foley back. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. What's he doing? Come on.
What's he doing? All right, so back in the Toy Story 3 realm, they started off just like Toy Story 2 with kind of this like imagination sequence. This time it's Woody and Jesse trying to stop a bank heist by the Potato Head, who's always the bad guy for some reason. One-Eyed Bart, that's his name. And I was thinking as they were doing this, it'd be pretty dope if they did just an entire Toy Story movie based in like a child's playtime.
Does
that make sense?
Yeah, I really liked the entire opening sequence, besides the fact that I'm pretty sure they copied it all from Back to the Future. But
Back to the Future, I don't know.
Back to the Future 3.
I mean, yeah, I know which Back to the Future, but why?
You know, why Back to the Future is? Because, yeah. I just felt like it was like very similar, like the shots and stuff were similar. It's just me. Or probably every movie where someone's following a train.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies with trains.
They also had the like the smoke with different colors, and they had a crazy guy with hair in the front. I don't know. It's just like little things.
Okay. Yeah, I'll accept it. Back to what I was saying, because it was much more important. It would be pretty dope if they just like started doing these spin-offs where it's like you could just make like any movie you want, I guess, but just have the toys as the cast, and so you still get kind of the nostalgia, and like you can do the callback jokes, which there were like plenty in this like 5-minute sequence.
Yeah.
But then you could also, like, just do whatever you want. It doesn't have to be repetitive the way Toy Story 3 is. Toy Story 2.
Yeah, I feel like I was really, speaking of Toy Story 2, I was really disappointed that Zurg didn't make a bigger role in this.
Yeah, I wasn't.
No, you didn't care?
I wasn't a big Zurg guy.
I mean, the whole, like, I'm your father thing really made me really angry, but I don't know. I thought the character was interesting aside from that.
Yeah, I mean, they could have used him better, I guess. So, I mean, speaking of like Toy Story 2, this opening sequence kind of jumps you back into all the characters. You get like the quick kind of, you know, throw in their catchphrases, ride like the wind, bullseye.
Yeah.
Whatever Buzz Lightyear says.
Everything.
He likes.
Yeah. But
has also, everything.
Also, he just is like a super person compared to all these regular people in the imagination, even.
Yeah. But I like that because he's like a much more advanced toy than all of them.
Yeah. But like Hogman had like a huge ship.
Yeah, that was Hogman. Yeah. Yeah, he's got like he's like a ship shaped like himself. He's the bad guy too, and then Mr. Potato's the bad guy. This kid, I guess he assigned the roles and never strayed from it.
Yeah. But then they go, like, then Randy Newman starts playing, which is a huge bummer. And then it's like a time lapse thing.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. It was like a collection of home videos showing kind of a recap of Andy growing up with his toys. And the whole time I was just thinking, like, does this kid have any real friends?
Yeah, he's like a little old at some point.
Yeah, towards the end he's like 15 years old, just like playing in the front yard with his toys.
Also they have...
Which...
They have, like, a scene in there where it's, like, a cut scene where they show, like, you know, like, on door frames you put, like, heights? They put, like, the toy heights, but, like, I'm pretty sure even as a kid you know toys don't grow.
Yeah, I think Andy's a very sad character when you think about it.
Well, I mean, his dad's a ghost or on a trip or something. He never really addressed it.
Yeah, his dad went to get cigarettes 15 yeah, years ago.
Of course.
And yeah, he's got no friends. And then this video, I guess, is just all the videos of him as a kid are just him playing with his toys by himself. But yeah, it was nice. Kind of, it was a, he's like a nice way to get you back into it. And then we see Andy going to college as a 17-year-old lad. And he looks very much like he should have been in the All-American Rejects. What was the name of that guy in that band?
I don't know. Adam Levine.
Adam. Tyson Ritter? Is that it? Tyson Ritter.
That sounds like a fake name.
Yeah, it looks like Tyson. Ooh, Tyson Ritter has great cheekbones.
Ooh.
Just throw that out there. Andy should be happy he's being compared to him.
Then, well, Andy... Well, okay. So, then it cuts to present day, and all the toys mm-hmm. are, like, in the chest, the wagon chest. And
yeah.
They're trying to, like, trick him into playing with them.
Which is so sad.
And, yeah. And also, I don't think the plan would have worked because they... they have the house phone and the cell phone in there, and they call the cell phone to get his attention. But like, that would be creepy as shit if both the phones were in there and they were calling each other and stuff. Like, there's no way they never got caught. Like, it's impossible.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think about that. He didn't really seem to think it was weird at all. He just blames his little sister.
Maybe she's
even though it doesn't make any sense.
Also, I noted the posters on the walls were like every poster ever.
Yeah, his fucking room is covered in posters.
It was a zoo poster.
Yeah, he loves the zoo.
There's just like a soccer poster, a world map where he had pins in it, and apparently he traveled a lot in like Southeast Asia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good catch.
Yeah, and then he had an Easter Island head poster, which is weird. A fun run, like the tag you wear. He had posters for bikes, skateboarding, surfing, cars, and like every sport. Like, it was just like
jeez.
Boy stuff. And also, I've never been in anybody's room. This happens in movies a lot where like people just plaster posters on the wall like over each other and stuff, and just like just anywhere, just like covered like top to bottom with posters.
Yeah, the overlapping posters is really drive me nuts. It doesn't even make any sense. It's like, what a waste. You gotta frame those bitches and get them nice and straight. Jesus,
I know. Like OCD about
they're
that.
Not like it's not like stickers you're putting on your, you know, your skateboard.
Yeah. That's what he's treating it like. Yeah, it's like they're all these decals.
Did you notice the pennant on his room was for PU?
Yeah.
Is that the university he's going to?
No, he's going to State University. I saw his acceptance letter.
Oh, nice. Good eye. Man, you got that great eye.
He also had a ticket to see Humble Beginnings live.
What? Is that like a play on Spring Awakening?
Maybe. Or maybe like... Maybe,
probably not.
It's a Pixar joke, like...
Humble Beginnings? Yeah, I don't know.
Also,
that's gotta be a joke.
His name, they reveal his last name. He's Andy Davis.
Yeah, I noticed that. Is that the first time they reveal it? I didn't care to look enough into that.
I mean, maybe they're going through like the toys purview, like as a little kid you wouldn't really know his last name, but then he's turning into an adult. I don't know.
Yeah, 17-year-olds use their last name all the time.
Yeah. And he also won first place for a sixth grade safety poster. He had like a certificate on the wall. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, how much did you pause this movie?
I just wanted to get the room like down pat. The rest of it I didn't care, but the room I wanted to get.
Okay, good.
One last thing.
What's up?
There's a little Clemson sticker.
I noticed that.
And I'm like,
on the side of his trunk.
Yeah, so everybody, it's like they had like all these nondescript things and they stuck a Clemson one in there. Like, come on. Also, fuck Clemson.
National champion.
No, Roll Tide. All right.
I'll get out of here. Yeah, I wonder if someone on Toy Story or someone on Pixar went to Clemson, maybe.
I don't know.
All maybe, stuff we should have looked up.
Maybe they're overrated like Clemson's football team is.
Yeah, it made me forget that they're supposed to be in California, right?
Yeah. Clemson's
in. Like, oh, just, yeah.
Not there.
Yeah, Andy's going to college, and he's packing up his shit. His mom is, like, being a real bee about it. She's like, get this shit out of here.
His sister, like, too, right is now. Just like, it's going to be mine it's in harmless. A minute.
Yeah, his sister with her tween magazine.
And then she sees Barbie, is like, fuck it. Just throws it away.
Yeah, there we go, Barbie. Yeah, I mean, come on. Girl that age would still want a Barbie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the friggin' Andy is still, he's 17, he still doesn't want to get rid of it.
Yeah, he, like, sees Woody as, like, oh, this doll.
So their toys are getting packed up, and there's a hilarious mishap where Andy's trying to put all his favorite toys, the usual guys, because I guess they've lost most of the other guys in the many years.
Yeah.
Trying to put them in the attic, but he puts them in a trash bag like an idiot, and then leaves the trash bag out so the mom obviously puts it up by the trash. And then
yeah, what Woody, the heck? Why, like, why'd he do that? I don't understand.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. It's just it had to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of things in this movie that, like, I don't know. I guess it'd been a while since I'd critically watched a Pixar movie, so I'm like, yeah, maybe I won't be a dick about it.
Well, one thing I noticed, because before that, Mr. Potato Head goes, like, they're all, like, they're immediately suspect of everything, always. Like, in every other Toy Story, they hate Woody, like, constantly. Yes. They hate him.
I noted that, too. They still all really actually hate Woody.
Yeah.
No one likes him.
And this time he's being sincere. Like,
mm-hmm.
But Mr. Potato Head goes, like, I'm going to go check how much I am on eBay. And I feel like with the cell phone and the eBay thing, like, I feel like they were trying to make up for lost time. Like, and I feel like a lot of movies with sequels do that, where, like, if they came out before the internet and then afterwards they make a sequel, they, like, push all this techie stuff in there to make you be like, hey, it's the future, right? Like, it really bugs me.
Yeah, and that's still, like, must be at the end, the tail end of the time period where you could just bring up eBay and that's the joke.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Like, now it's like, yeah, so eBay, got it.
Yeah. Be like, I'm going to go Google myself. I don't know. See how much I'm worth on Snapchat.
And also, that's like kind of a little bit, especially with the flip phone, like, you date yourself with that sort of thing. I know it's like a kid's movie, so they don't really care, but, like, I feel like most movies try to avoid that a little bit.
Oh, we care.
I care, yeah. We care.
Yeah, here's another nitpick I had. So all the toys are out by the trash except for Woody, because he was getting brought to college, so he was, you know, out in the box.
Yeah.
And then when he goes to when Woody goes to save him, he calls over the dog Buster, and the joke is that the dog's, like, old as shit now and, like, about to die.
Yeah.
But Andy's 17. They got the dog as a puppy, right? When he was, like, Andy was, what, like, maybe 7?
Yeah.
So the dog's 10? He can't be that old.
Yeah. Well, the Andy timeline doesn't make sense anyway. Because they got him a Toy Story 2, right? Or at the end of Toy Story 1?
I thought it was at the end of Toy Story 1.
It might have been. But at that point,
because they're at Christmas, and they get a dog, and then everyone's like, oh, shit, a dog. Yeah, yeah. And then the second one, he's in it, because the joke is that they're supposed to be scared of the dog, but then they're, like, they're buddies, and the dog somehow understands them.
Yeah. Yeah. I also had issues with that. Also, like, I hate depictions of dogs as, like, like basically half dead. I'm not a huge fan of that.
It's on the way out.
Yeah.
Also, they still really haven't perfected the dog animation. It still looks weird.
Yeah, he was way more gray and like scruffy than I think a whole dog would look like. He looked terrible.
Yeah, just decrepit.
I hope in Toy Story 4 they don't like make an issue of it. They just like forget it. Like they just like skip it. I don't want to know about him dying or like his sister like dying or some shit. I don't want to know any of this shit. This movie was like from the get go, like from even the first like bedroom scene, it's like all about death. They're like, we served our purpose. Yeah. It's time for us to move on.
Yeah, exactly. So they're, yeah, all the toys are kind of accepting a little begrudgingly that Andy has moved on from them. So they're going to move on from him and they want to go to daycare, which you could kind of make the connection to that being like the afterlife, right?
Yeah.
So all the toys are accepting of it and they're ready to go. And Andy or Woody actually won't. He's still holding on to it. He won't accept it.
I'm just realizing this now. At daycare. Well, okay. We'll get there. But like,
we're there.
So, all right. So they end up in the trash, but they don't want to go, and they end up in a box to go to daycare because they feel like that's a good option. Yeah, because it makes sense. On its face, looks like a good option.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're separated into the caterpillar room and the butterfly room. But is that like a metaphor for heaven and hell? I'm just realizing this.
Oh, wait, trash? Trash is hell and...
No. The butterfly room is heaven, the caterpillar room is hell.
Oh.
Because I didn't think about it as the afterlife.
Yeah, that's the connection I was making, so that's interesting. I think I was trying to make those connections too, but it doesn't quite work. So the butterfly room is full of all the younger kids, so they terrorize them and like kind of torture them almost in like a Dante's Inferno kind of way.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the butterfly room is with the older kids who play with them very gently. So, yeah, you can definitely see it as a heaven and hell. But then it's all perverse because Lotso Huggin there is like the evil dictator that controls the whole thing. So is he God?
Nah. Yeah, I guess it doesn't really match up because I don't think God is like heaven's full. You got to go to hell. I don't think that's how that works.
But yeah, the system he set up is that they have to go to the little kid room, or the way he says it, they have to go to the little kid room first because all the older toys that have been there longer are kind of sick of it. So maybe that's limbo.
Maybe it's like purgatory. Like they
have to like. I don't really know.
I don't think in purgatory you have to like pay your dues. Like I don't think that's how that works either.
Yeah, I didn't think so. You don't like have to prove yourself, right? You just kind of wait. Purgatory's weird.
Yeah. Well, purgatory is also.
It's not in the Bible, is it? Is it like a New Age Christian thing?
It was kind of expert. Perversely. Like, I'm fuzzy on whether it's in the Bible 100% or not, but I know that it was either made up or twisted by the Catholic Church because they said, like, oh, if you give us, like, basically, if you give the church money or, like, you know, gold or riches or whatever, if you pay the church alms, then it'll reduce your time in purgatory. And you can pay time off.
Hey, that's fucked up.
There's a whole like movement, yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah. The Catholic Church isn't always surprised. Hasn't always been the best.
No, what?
Speaking of which, the number three guy in the Vatican just got accused of child abuse. But
yeah, I saw that. Yikes.
Yeah.
And they definitely knew about it because he like. Yeah, whatever.
Of course, it's definitely Nazi Pope did that one.
Yeah, guy. We won't pin that on good Pope.
No, Pope Francis is a saint. Ratzinger, not so much.
Literally,
he's a quitter.
He's a Nazi quitter. So I'm wondering if you can kind of make the connection later, where Lotso could be the devil, right? Because he was like the favorite. He was the favorite toy of his owner, Daisy.
Yeah.
And then he was cast out of heaven. Although it wasn't really for his own problems, but we're reaching here.
Yeah, it's tough. It's he might, you know, he
they want to make the connection.
Well, okay, how about this? When they get there, they're like, oh, it's going to be great. Look at all these kids. And then they're promised all these riches and all these great things and all these fun kids to play with. But then it turns out hell isn't actually all great and party and stuff. It's actually terrible. Maybe that's it. Like, so like them choosing to go to daycare is like maybe Andy's God. So choosing to go to daycare is like turning your back on God. So they get condemned. They think they're going to a great place, like, because Satan lies through his teeth and tells you, promise you riches, and then in reality, you're really going to hell and it sucks.
Oh, so maybe the attic is heaven.
Yeah.
Because they said they got a lot of games and books and TVs up there.
Yeah. I don't know who has a functioning TV in their attic, but...
Oh, yeah. Good point. Oh, wait, here's another connection, too. Woody says that the attic is full of all the Christmas decorations.
Ooh.
Actually, I did like that line. He's like, those guys are fun, right? And everyone's just kind of like, eh.
See? And that's why they're sinners, because they won't take the Christmas guys.
Mm. Yeah, Christmas. There you go.
And Christmas guys probably refers to like a nativity scene set, which involves Jesus.
There you go. Probably.
This is all maybe an allegory for Christianity.
Yeah, they definitely wanted us to get to this point.
Well, I think this movie is very particular because the other movies are just like fun, loving, like no seriousness to it. But this is like has so much. It's like drenched in death. It is like,
oh yeah,
it's like brutal. But speaking of brutal, they get banished to the caterpillar room.
Yeah. The brutal caterpillar room. After, yeah, Woody leaves to go find Andy again. And then he leaves all the other toys. And then when all the kids come back in, they just, like, absolutely violate them.
Yeah, they wreck them.
Which, maybe, a little unsettling. Because, like, they play with them, and then afterwards they're just, like, everyone's all beaten up. And, like, you can tell they didn't want it.
Yeah.
But, Slink has a good line. I liked it. But they're all like recovering, you know, and they're, you know, talking about how hard they are. Just like, I got a kink in my slink. Which I'm gonna take that one. Rest in peace, Jim Varney.
Please use that. I wrote down multiple times, this is a kids movie.
Which is what all the death and the heaviness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, oddly enough, yeah, the Toy Story franchise seems to be one that does kind of touch on more adult topics. Like, second one is all about, you know, collectors and ownership and, you know, how you value your possessions.
Sure.
Second and third, I mean, the first one's kind of the fun, whatever, but yeah, the third one's heavy on the death stuff.
The second one is... You're right, it's a little, like, heavy at some points.
Definitely not as heavy as this one. This one's definitely the heaviest. But that's why I think it works the best.
Because, like, I feel like Lotso is very similar to the Prospector character. Like...
Yeah. Yeah, both kind of start out being very nice, but then have a turn and show, like, their real side.
Yeah.
And throughout it, I mean... It seemed like kind of this was a lot of like rehashing from Toy Story 2, because they even with Lotso's character they talk about his backstory. It's kind of exactly the same backstory as Jessie, the cowgirl.
Yeah,
where they were just like the best toy of their kid, and they loved him, and then they just left him out, which in a place that kind of looked like the same exact spot too.
Yeah, and then they also are like. Yeah, and then that leaves them being, like, super suspicious and, like, afraid of anything, of any human.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was thinking, I mean, I feel like you could have almost just gotten rid of Toy Story 2 and just jumped straight into this one and gotten kind of the same story out of it.
Yeah.
And I think it does it better. So I think kind of the problem, you know, chairman of the board, Jared, was talking about coming on this pod too, because he doesn't actually like this movie very much.
I mean, neither do I, but...
Oh. Well, there we go. Now we're realizing it. His problem, a lot of it, I think, is that it is just rehashing Toy Story 2, but I think my argument would be just it's doing it better. So take that, Jared.
I mean, it's like the same. It's the same kind of like concept, I guess. But then I think Toy Story 2 was, I guess, trying to establish backstory for Woody and Buzz, but then it doesn't really, like, for their toy backstory, but it doesn't matter because as characters they have their own, like, I think this works better because no one cares about why the toys are made, like, the fake history of the actual toys.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I care more about the characters that are in the toys.
Yeah, honestly, I prefer less of a backstory. I mean, you already got enough with Buzz. Or enough, not like, not backstory necessarily, but kind of like peeling back the curtain to the rest of the world. I could have done without that. So there you go.
Yeah.
Well, the other big problem actually Jared has with this movie, which is kind of right where we are in the movie, Buzz kind of goes out when they're at the daycare at night. He goes out to kind of talk to Lotso and get them into the good room. But instead he's captured, and that's when Lotso reveals he's a baddie. And this is when they put him on a factory reset. Buzz, they do?
Yeah. Well, they say that, but they put him in demo mode, which is... that was all very confusing. Else they had the instruction manual for, like, every toy ever there.
the bookworm.
Yeah.
Which I thought... I kind of like that. Like, that's... That makes sense. Is like that's where you would torture them, or how you would torture them if you know everything about them. It's kind of like the best torture in like a horror movie would probably be like some kind of, you know, surgeon or doctor.
Ooh, yeah.
Because they know exactly the pain points. Or did you ever see The Audition?
Which one?
We talked about that. The Audition, I think it's a Japanese movie. Or Korean. I think it's Korean.
I don't think so.
Anyway, she uses... acupuncture.
Ooh.
Yeah. So anyway, in this case, they get Buzz's manual, and they pop his battery case off, and then they set him from play mode to demo mode, which Jared's big problem is that, like, why would he have either mode? Like, he doesn't have a computer chip in him, or you wouldn't think he would.
Yeah, and he has batteries. Makes sense. He has batteries, but, like, I guess for, like, the little, like, LED lights, that's really it, I guess, for the sounds, too. But then, that made me wonder, like, well, like, Lotso doesn't have batteries, so if you take Buzz's batteries out, is he still alive? Like, the concept of life in the toys is very, like,
I thought about that at another point, too. How do they die? Because I know throughout the movie, I mean, they're, like, hurt. Throughout the series of movies, they get in pain from getting hit. Yeah. But in Toy Story 2, Woody, like, loses an arm. He doesn't even really notice it, right?
Yeah. The thread just, like, goes out.
Yeah, the thread just, like, drops out and it pops out his arm. So, like, how much damage would you have to do to a toy before they die? Is it like a zombie you gotta, like, bash the brain in?
Well, I mean, based off of, like... Yeah. Well, what's his face? Sid, like, rips toys apart to put it back together, and they seem alive. So, like, I think maybe it's just whatever head is on it is the is the brain.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess in that they retained. But then there's that one toy that's just a fishing pole with legs.
Oh, yeah, it's not really a head, is it?
which brings up the other question, like, what toys are, or what objects, I guess, are sentient, what aren't? Because I was thinking, you know, Andy, he's a 17-year-old boy. He probably has some paraphernalia around his room.
Oh, you think he has, like, a little pipe? A little pipey?
he probably does, a little pipey. Did ever get sentient?
That's a good question. Or, like, why not, like, a pencil? Or, like, his laptop? Like, I don't know, like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, the laptop. Yeah.
He also had like a CRT TV, but 2010, it seems like really old to have.
In Andy's room?
Yeah.
What they should do, they should do a crossover with a Brave Little Toaster and just friggin' everything's alive.
They had some weird blurry lines too, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah.
And what's sentient and what isn't.
But that movie's great. You should do that movie too.
Okay. Also, it took me a really long time to realize that that Whoopi Goldberg was the voice of the octopus dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot to even mention her.
And it was like very
Bonnie
small.
Hunt's in there too.
Yeah.
Very small. Yeah, she's got like two lines.
Oh, yeah. So Woody like escapes, goes to this girl's house. I forget her name. Oh boy,
Betty, body,
baby, booty, Mary, mommy,
Slippy, Slappy,
yes, Slappy is a good one. So go to Slappy's house, and like, I like it because Christian Schaal is there.
Mm-hmm.
What's his face? Timothy Dalton and Jeff Garland, and
Bonnie Hunt.
Bonnie Hunt, they're having a good time, and then they're like, oh no, the daycare's terrible. And then Woody, of course, being who he is, being hated but somehow a really good dude anyway, goes back and tries to save everybody, and then seemingly makes a plan with like, at that point Buzz has turned into like a militant slave of Lotso.
Yeah,
and imprisons everyone, and then Buzz, oh, and then Woody makes a plan in like 5 minutes on how to like beat everything.
Well, I do like, I actually kind of like this part because, one, I do like Buzz as a bad guy because he's like he's like the only like action toy.
Yeah.
You know, so you think like kind of he could kick everyone's ass. Because like all the other toys are like stuffed, you know, or not very movable.
Yeah.
But it's like Buzz is a fighter, so. I like it when he's the bad guy. You should make him the bad guy more. And then, yeah, Woody comes back, but I do like he talks to the little phone guy who is like a real like gumshoe or something, kind of a hard-boiled character.
Yeah, I really like that voice.
Yeah, it's a great voice. And then he gives him kind of the whole deets of the place. Very like old-timey noir kind of feel to it.
Gives him the whole rundown.
Yeah, the whole rundown, because he's been there a while, and they never broke him, he said. And then it's always nice when they when the movie like breaks down the remaining obstacles, you know? So then you kind of have it in your head what they have to do to escape, in this case.
Yeah, it's a really good, like a heist movie sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah, breakout movie. Or, yeah, jailbreak movie, whatever that genre would be. So they got the truck circling around, and then they've got the monkey with the eye in the sky, which I liked because he's got those like bloodshot eyes and his little symbols.
It freaked me out a little bit. But then that scene also made me think, like, well, if they have cameras everywhere, then wouldn't they like replay the film at some point? Like, they probably had a break-in at some point and re-looked at some of the film and then saw all the toys moving around and like having a life.
Yeah, that's true. It does bring up that point where all of this is being filmed and recorded. Well, there's that one point where they almost, when he's escaping, where the janitor almost sees him. Which I wonder if they'll... Well, I guess no. I guess, yeah, they did that with Sid. Never mind. I was going to say, like, I wonder if they're going to have a moment where the human sees him, but duh, that's the full... It's a climax of the first movie, dude.
I feel like Andy could handle it because he's already like kind of a crazy person.
Yeah, that'll just send him over the edge. So here's a question for you. Woody gets back in and they get Buzz and they're trying to set him back to normal. And then they hold his reset button and he goes into Spanish mode, which is fine. Yeah. Like that makes sense. A talking toy, I guess, would have a Spanish function too. But did you think the Spanish Buzz was a little racist or a lot racist?
It was up there. They did like all the Spanish tropes. They had a salsa. They had to speak exclusively in Spanish.
Like the Latin lover kind of thing.
Yeah, he played every stereotype they could think of.
I did appreciate though that they had him like speaking in full Spanish sentences though.
Instead of like a Cheech Marin voice or something.
Yeah.
Hey man, I'm Buzz Lightyear, man.
Yeah, he didn't say essay once, which would have been
ASA. I'm Buzz Light on yo.
Yeah, they could have like had him just use like Spanglish words. I don't know.
Yeah.
It could have been worse. But it was still kinda bad already. They also could have easily just like dropped that entire joke because it really wasn't funny. It didn't have any effect on the plot at all.
Yeah, no, because even in Spanish, and you'd assume you'd only understand if you only spoke Spanish, he still helped them and did everything he normally would have done anyway.
Yeah, and he still, like, the main drive of Spanish Buzz was he wanted to save the Jesse character because he wanted Boner, but he already wanted Boner anyway, so it's like not a change.
Yeah, I don't know. And also, I just forgot to mention this before. Joan Cusack is like a crazy person. Like
in real life? Probably.
I don't know. I don't want to say I don't like her as Jesse, but like I feel like some of her deliveries were like just not a fan of.
Yeah. Yeah, the character's kind of abrasive. Like, I appreciate it because it's, like, kind of, it's, like, Woody as more of, like, action first instead of, like, head, like, a thinking man. He's more like Woody as an action man.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. That's why Buzz wants to bone her because he, you know, him and Woody probably have a thing going on.
Well,
so he just wants to get with the female version of Woody.
Woody's love was, like, Bo Peep, who I don't know why Andy had anyway. And she got thrown out, I guess, like Wheezy.
Oh, yeah, poor rest in peace, Wheezy. That was super sad at the beginning. They're just, like, mentioning all the toys that they lost, and then they just offhandedly say Bo Peep, I think, and then Woody looks super sad.
I thought they were going to cut Slink. It's like Slinky, because Jim Varney was dead, but they didn't. I mean,
yeah,
they might have made the animation before he died. Like, they might have been, well, no, it was 2010.
No.
Didn't take 10 years to make animation.
No. And yeah, he was on the chopping block, apparently, but they decided to bring him back. I was reading that in the wiki. And the Bo Peep, they're not really sure why she wasn't there, but they said she'll probably be in Toy Story 4. So it's not they had a problem with that actress or anything. I don't know.
Well, Slinky, I guess he's useful because he's like the rope all the time. Like if they need someone to reach,
true,
like a base, have him, like he's done every movie. I think he's had some moment where he's like the connecting part.
Yeah, that's true. He's probably like the most useful of the toys.
Yeah,
except for Buzz
and the car was pretty useful too.
Oh yeah, where's the car? They should have kept that.
He even have a voice.
No, it would have been easy. Yeah, whatever. So, we got the Spanish Buzz, and he's doing all the same stuff normal Buzz does, but they finally escape through the garbage dump, and it looks like they're going to make it out, even though they never really explained what the plan was after they got there. They're just, I guess, going to walk back?
Yeah, I imagine they just would have left. I don't think it would have been that hard, and do they really do that at like every dump? Is it just like a big like hole to the core of the earth where they just dump everything? Like, I know they burn trash in some places, but I feel like most places have landfills where they bury it underground, put concrete over it, and then wait for it to just disappear.
Wait for it to be someone else's problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was really intense.
Yeah, dude. Like, well, because they get... Well, then Buzz also makes a fart joke because, like, a whole TV falls on him, which would have destroyed him. And then he's like,
"Oh yeah."
Smells trash. He goes like, "Was that me?" Like, the toys fart. I mean, I like a fart joke anyway, but
that's a good point. Well, didn't they have a like someone burp? I thought Woody burped in his face at some point or something. Maybe I'm making that up. Maybe. I thought we talked about that in the other pod. We talked all about the bodily functions of toys.
And then that conveyor belt thing, the physics didn't make sense on that either. Because they're on a conveyor belt with all the trash going to, like, a grinder, but then it has a magnet above it to pick up any metal. But, like, the metal was, like, it does a thing that, like, magnets don't do, where it, like, takes a second to, like, warm up, and then it gets pulled up.
Yeah, and, like, the different objects take some time, some go automatically, even though they're, like, the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the other, that was annoying, too, because, like, they wind up at the dump, and then they escape the grinder by holding on to the magnets, but then they stupidly just let go of those metal pieces and drop down and back into the shit. Yeah, if they just held on to that metal, where would they have gone? Probably...
They would have got to, like, a metal sorting area to save it, yeah.
Yeah, that probably would have been fine. Not a giant hole in the earth.
Yeah. The scariest place ever. I hate that scene in the movie where they like, well, first of all, Lotso was like,
well,
I'll help you guys. They just saved his life,
right?
And then he came and pressed the fucking button. Yeah,
yeah, and that was something that kind of annoyed me too, because it was like very, you know, very tropey, where they wind up at the dump with Lotso, and then they end up saving his life, and Lotso pretending to be a good guy, so they help him up to go press the emergency stop button to save all of their lives, and then he turns on them again. But it's like, I thought that would have been pretty interesting if they had Lotso, like, actually have a change of heart, you know?
Yeah, and, like, grow.
Yeah, and, like, have growth as a character and depth. Because they already show him, you know, he was a sweet guy, and they go through the effort of building his character to show, like, why he's a bad guy now and give him that kind of depth, you know? Instead of just having him be, like, just a bad guy just to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
So it would have been interesting for him to then come back. Like, I don't know, you never really see that in a movie. But instead, yeah, they're going about to die. Super, is this where you cried, or is it at the end?
It was towards
it every time. Okay.
Every scene.
So yeah, they're all. This was. I think my favorite. Like, what I always remember from the movie. They're going into the pit to die, and then instead of fighting it, they've all just accepted it and hold hands.
I feel like that bugs me the most.
In what way?
I feel like that's a weird message to send kids. Like, hey, if you're gonna die, man, just deal. Hey, it's cool, man. Accept death.
That's true. I didn't really think of it in the context of a message to kids.
That must be devastating. I wonder if kids even get it.
You think they understand what's happening there?
I'm pretty sure they get what's happening. It's like very they don't say anything. They just all, like, look at each other and, like, nod. Like, I assume, like, it's another movie trope where, like, people accept death by just nodding and looking at each other.
Yeah, well, I guess in this case, it'd be really driving the point home if they're like, all right, we're going to die, kids.
Well, you could say, like, what should we do? We can't do anything. Let's just be with each other in these last moments. You know, say something
that's true.
Uplifting. That would have been not sweet. Like, well, death, man. Stop struggling.
We'll go out silently. So, yeah, I mean, it's a really heavy heavy scene, but then they get friggin' saved by a stupid claw ex machina.
Yeah, the claw.
The claw. Which, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could have had Lotso save them, then you would have had to avoid pulling that out of your butt.
Yeah.
Because how the heck did those aliens get up there, and how the heck did they know how to control that claw? Come on.
Yeah, because they were just claw bait. They never, like, actually operated the claw.
Yeah, I mean, their whole character seems, like, pretty dense. Like, you don't think they really understand the mechanics that the claw is something they can use as a tool to save people. And how the hell did they know where the toys were? Makes no sense. Really chaps my butt.
Also, why would they have a claw? Like, once you make it to the fire room, I'm pretty sure you're going to get burned. Like, I don't know. Why would they have a claw in there? Like, oh, shit. We forgot something. Like, I think it's kind of late at that point.
Yeah, but as far as they know, it's already been ground up.
Yeah. It's like in the maw of the earth.
So, that was annoying, and I think it could have been avoided in a better way. But instead, those aliens somehow save the day, just so we can get the joke of the potato head saying, oh, you saved my life, we're eternally grateful, blah.
Yeah.
And then Lotso gets his comeuppance. So, very similar to, what's his name, Stinky Pete, at the end of Toy Story 2. You think he's getting away. It's like probably almost the exact same, like, sequence of shots.
Yeah, what happens to him? I was going to ask you. I forgot exactly what happened to him.
Who, Stinky Pete?
Yeah.
Well, they're in the airport, and they, he leaves them in the baggage sorted. Oh, no. I think that, yeah, they stuff him into a backpack, don't they?
Yeah.
And then his comeuppance is he's with a girl who likes to draw on her toys.
Oh. And he wants to be Mint.
Yeah, he wants to be Mint. He's very vain about it. And then Lotso's comeuppance is he's put on the front of a dump truck.
Yeah.
That's way worse.
But also that garbage worker is really... He, like, put his face in, like, a bear he found in the dump.
He's a garbage guy. What does he care?
And that's also weird. He puts stuffed animals on his, like, I didn't like that character at all.
The garbage guy character?
Yeah. Even it's very brief.
The 2 seconds, yeah.
He, like, straps...
Call it a character.
Straps toys to the front of it. Like, I don't know. That's just, like, I don't like that.
Is that a thing? I feel like I've seen that, but...
I've seen it, like, once or twice. Like, on the... Not on the truck. Like, seen, like, the back of trailers. Or, like, I don't know. Not like he had like 5 toys on there. Like he has like a weird fetish. Like I don't like it.
Yeah, and all the toys were like really, like joking about it. Like, oh, you better close your mouth. You're just gonna eat bugs all day. So I guess they accepted it.
That, well, another thing they say right after this, they go like, "We gotta get you home, college boy." They keep calling Woody college boy. But then they're constantly perplexed as to why Andy's going away to college, like why he's leaving them. So I don't think they know what college is, but they keep using like expressions that people use when they know what college is.
Yeah, well, they must know something about it, because at the end they say, like, don't party too hard or something.
Well, then when they know why Andy has to leave, because that's just a convention of this point in time.
Yeah, the toys seem to know a lot. It'd be kind of funny if they had like maybe a very like elementary understanding of human world, but they seem to just kind of know everything, which I guess is kind of funny in its own way.
Well, they know how to use like MapQuest, so
yeah, they know how to use MapQuest and like GChat, play video games.
That was another thing. There's like a chat that comes up, like, essentially, like, you up. And then Chris Charles like, no, it's just somebody down the street. Does that mean, like, every toy goes on the internet when people are asleep?
Yeah, that wasn't Rex, was it?
No, but then they later on... It was
like Veloster 84 or something.
Veloster. Was the name.
But then I didn't know, because her and Rex were, like, they both were into like video games.
Yeah, then they like yeah they showed him being like all cutesy and stuff.
Cutesy, yeah, playing video games together.
Well, so they of course they finally make it home.
Thanks to who? Thanks to Sid, the garbage man, supposedly.
Yeah. Not the creepy garbage guy, the cool rockin' garbage guy.
Yeah, cool rockin', which is supposed to be Sid, I guess, because he's wearing the same shirt.
But, oh, is it?
Yeah, that's what people think. In the beginning, you can see he's got the same like skull shirt on. And he's listening to rock music, so you're supposed to be Sid. But I guess he's supposed to only been like 17 or 18 then, right?
Yeah, well, maybe he started early.
I guess. Good for him. He's a working man.
Yeah. Then they like hose off, get all the grossness off, and then they just like go in his room, and he's like nonplussed by it all.
Yeah, like so many times through these movies, Andy just finds these toys in a place they definitely shouldn't be, and he just doesn't give it a second thought.
One more thing happens later on. We'll get to it. But then, like, yeah, so he finds the toys, and then Woody is like, I'm going to go to college, guys. See you later. And then Woody, who can write, which I didn't know he could write. I don't know who taught the toys how to write or read, for that matter. I don't know if toys are literate. Like, writes a note on there, and it was pretty obvious what the note said. I mean, I wish I got to see the note, because I want to see Woody's handwriting. But
good point.
It was the address of Slippy Slappy's house.
Slippy Slappy. They had a Mr. Spell, though, remember? So maybe he taught them how to read and write.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
And her name is Bonnie. I found it in my notes.
Oh, Bonnie? Okay.
Bonnie's the kid that they... The other kid who plays with toys.
So they end up going to Bonnie's house to donate the toys. Because instead of going to the attic, Woody's like, well, the attic would suck. So let's go to this girl's house and, like, start a new life with this girl. And just,
yeah,
like, cut our losses.
Yeah.
And see, that might be metaphors for heaven, because it's like, well, you're leaving your life and you're starting this new life with a new person, like you're, or maybe it's like a reincarnation metaphor.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because they're in California, they're probably like Buddhist and shit.
Although, yeah, when Andy gets there, he makes sure to like push his imagination on the girl. And he's like, this is all the characters' names. It's like, well, let her name her own toys.
Yeah, that's true.
He's like, this one's the bad guy. This is the other bad guy. It's like, well, that one's just a piggy bank. Let her use your own damn imagination.
Piggy bank's barely his toy, by the way. Hey.
Yeah, he got a lot of play for being just a piggy bank.
But then the part that I was referencing before, it was really creepy. The little girl had Woody for a short period of time, knows there's a snake in my boot, sees the cowboy, looks at him and says, there's a snake in my boot. And then Andy is like, what? How'd you know that? Pulls a string. Woody says it. And then he just like goes like, meh, that's cool. It's like, no.
Well, yeah, just and right before that, too, Andy had put Woody into his college box. And then didn't question how he wound up in this other completely different box.
Yeah, at the bottom.
At the bottom. And somehow he didn't see him as he's pulling the other toys out because he was really shocked when Bonnie grabbed him.
Yeah. Lots of loose ends there. Andy must, like, just be really, like, messy and just not care about anything. And just like, I don't know, things happen.
Yeah, he's very nonchalant about a lot of things. But here we get the final play with Andy and the toys, and this is definitely where you cried, right?
Uh huh. It was this one. It was the second he was like, Woody? I was like, oh no.
Here it comes.
I'm like, you should have got incinerated.
Yeah, I like how Barney like reaches for Woody and Andy just instinctively like pulls it away.
Yeah, like, no, hell no.
You're not getting this toy, kid.
I mean, I wouldn't give it to her either. Like,
that's a special edition. Dude.
Yeah, also they never addressed that. Like, it's like a toy from like the 20s. Like, they should know, like, not the 20s, like the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wouldn't he know that it costs a lot of money? Like,
well, he's been played with a lot.
That's true. He's not mint.
Probably not worth anything. I got Misty just, not when they were playing, well, afterwards, when they're all sitting on the stoop and he's driving away. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
That's when I get real Misty.
And then, well, I was just glad they had some, like, scenes of all the toys having fun. Mainly because I wanted to hear Christian Schaal say something again. and Timothy Dalton. I wanted to hear them, like, voice a little bit.
Yeah, so I wonder if the fourth one is just going to be, I guess, hopefully including all those same characters again. Because, yeah, Christian Schaal's got a great toy voice.
Yeah.
And hopefully Timothy Dalton comes back. And hopefully Michael Keaton comes back, because him as Ken is perfect. But yeah. I don't really know if they have, like, a story out or for that. But John Lasseter is going to direct it.
I mean, they did push it back to push Cars forward, I think. Like, Cars 3 forward. Oh. Or no, they pushed it back to pull Incredibles 2 forward. That's what it was.
That's right. Yeah, so it's Cars 3, which is out now, and then Coco, and then Incredibles, I think?
Yeah, Incredibles 2, and then Toy Story.
Okay. So I guess that'd probably be where they pick it back up. I mean, it's frustrating because 3 wraps it up so perfectly. Like, not that I'm like a purist with movies, like, oh, you can't remake it, but it's just so frustrating when they do wrap up a series so well, and then they go back to the well again.
Yeah, there's no, like, they left it at a perfect point, like, well, when a toy gets used. Like, they went from the beginning of their life, essentially, like, the beginning of Buzz's life to the end of his life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it is. And, yeah, they even touched on, like, kind of, like, toy collectors even add that in there. So it's kind of like they touched on a lot of things that you would associate with toys. But there was another story originally. That was the other. There was a lot of, I guess, production issues or with this movie, because Pixar and Disney had some whatever legal negotiations to work out.
Sure.
So there's another version, written by Jim Hertzfeld, that revolved around Buzz, of course, but it was about he has a malfunction, so he has to be recalled to Taiwan. And all the toys go to rescue him, of course, and then while they're doing that, Buzz is like making friends with all the other recalled toys in Taiwan.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll rehash that plot out. I don't know.
I mean, I guess that's, well, maybe they will. I mean, it's a different story, because it's like not about life or death. It's about, like, just an adventure. And I guess it's another thing, like collectors, toys being obsolete, mm-hmm. toys being played with, and now toys being recalled.
Yeah, it's kind of like the two ways you can go about it. The way Toy Story 2 did it was kind of like these toys in the real world, like on a larger scale.
Yeah.
Whereas like Toy Story 3 was kind of like refocusing on a smaller, like, personal scale. So I guess with the next one, yeah, you can do it one of either way. Or they could, like I'm saying, just have it be like a imagination world. That'd be dope.
Yeah.
Like when they, I don't know if you caught it, but when Andy walks up to Bonnie playing, she's talking about like a diner scene where there's ghosts with pies. I don't know. So she's got a weird imagination. I guess they can go a lot of places with that. Another fun fact I dug up here. You kind of touched on it when you were talking about whether or not they already had the animation for Slink drawn up. But apparently they couldn't access the old files. When they went to go bring up the old 3D models, there was an error. So they had to recreate all the models from scratch.
I could see. I mean, I'm sure like 3D modeling software has been so far like separated from where it was in like 1999 compared to like 2009,
2010. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they had to start around 2006 is when they started production, it seems like.
That's still like, even like 2 years out, I think software is obsolete by then. So like, I mean, we know that. I mean, mm-hmm. with like Photoshop and stuff, the same thing, like AutoCAD, like if you get a file that's too old, too bad.
Yeah, I mean, and then like it's not even compatible with like your operating system anymore.
Yeah, and I don't think you want to like, even if they did manage to port it, like probably the values and stuff, like the textures and all that, probably are so out of whack compared to what they use now. Like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that kind of sucks for them.
Said it took them a year and a half. Oh, well, just for the end scene, sorry. For the junkyard scene. Research development took a year and a half. Damn.
Well, I mean, that was a big scene. It's like, there's a lot of little things in there.
Mm-hmm. Good way to end it.
Also, they had You've Got a Friend in Me in Spanish at the end, which I really enjoyed.
Oh, yeah. Was that by the Gypsy Kings? Or was it just... Did it just sound like the Gypsy Kings? I think it was...
Was it?
Actually, Gypsy Kings.
But the line was, "Hay un amigo en mí," which is, "There is a friend in me." Which I don't think translates exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about that. There was a couple where they couldn't. You gotta keep it on the beat.
I mean, and I guess that expression probably... I mean, "You've got a friend in me." Is that even an expression? I guess it sort of is.
Not because that song, probably.
It's like a weird idiom. Like that, I don't think it translates to any other language.
No. Yeah, it was the Gypsy Kings, too. So I guess the whole Spanish buzz thing paid off because you got that nice version of the song.
I mean, I wish it was all them instead of Randy Newman. But they did, they toned down a lot of, like, there wasn't a lot of Randy Newman. It was like...
No. Because they opened with "You Got a Friend in Me," right?
Yeah, and they cut out like a really eerie time of it. It's like, "You got a friend."
And then he's got "We Belong Together" was the original song they wrote.
Well, that was fun.
That was fun. Feels good to get back in the groove.
Yeah. That movie was such a bummer. But not as much of a bummer as the next movie, Cars 2, is going to be.
Well, we got to knock out our shorts first.
That's true.
To give us a breather here.
We have.
But I think, are we caught up? Oh, no, we've got three more.
Of what? Well,
I guess now four more with Cars 3. Shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so what are the next two?
Lava, which played before Inside Out, and then Sanjay's Super Team, which looks super dope, and
dope.
Written by Sanjay Patel, of course. I mean, why not name it after yourself? He played in front of the Good Dinosaur.
Nice. Yeah, then we've got a couple more, and then we'll be caught up on those. So... tune in next week or whenever this comes out.
Yeah, forever.
We'll bring you that. Yeah, whenever. Whenever we feel like it. We'll knock that out. We'll get back in this groove, baby.
Awesome.
Awesome. And we're going to get back on the Twitter, too, at AsterixR. Going to get that groove. And I'm going to download it again right now after I deleted it because I was tired of Twitter.
I'm sorry. I get that way too sometimes, especially now.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us. Hugs and kisses. Lotso Huggins is what I should have said. Lotso Huggins and kissins.
Alrighty.
Bye.
Bye.